Our text tonight is in Joshua chapter 13, but if you would, turn with me first to the book of Numbers, chapter 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then Numbers. While you're turning to Numbers chapter 1, twice in this chapter of Joshua 13, the Lord speaks to Joshua concerning the inheritance of the tribe of Levi. That's what my subject is tonight, our inheritance. The tribe of Levi was purposed and designated by God to be over the priesthood. Now here in Numbers chapter 1, the Lord instructed Moses to take a census of the people of Israel. And in verse 49, Numbers 1:49, he said, "Only thou shalt not number the tribe of Levi, neither take the sum of them among the children of Israel, but thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony and over all the vessels thereof and over all things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it." Now turn over a page or two to Numbers chapter 3 and look at verse 6. The Lord spoke to Moses again and said, "Bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle." So I want you again to note that the tribe of Levi was in charge of moving the tabernacle from place to place. Whenever Israel picked up and moved to another location, the Levites were in charge of the tabernacle and moving it. And then in Numbers 18, you don't have to turn there, the Lord again said that the Levites shall minister before the tabernacle of witness. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8, we're told, "At that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless his name this day." In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 1, it's written, "The priest of the Levites and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance." And then we come to Joshua chapter 13. And as Joshua here divides the land, as he divides the possessions, the inheritance between the tribes of Israel, in verse 14, Joshua 13, verse 14, we read, "Only unto the tribe of Levi he gave none inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said unto them." And then look down at verse 33, the last verse of the chapter, and again, the Lord says, "But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not an inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them." Now, I would say that all of us have some understanding of what an inheritance is. That word inheritance is defined by Webster's dictionary to be a thing that is inherited. Well, if you don't know what inherited is, that won't help you much. But the word inherited is defined as money, property, or a title received as an heir at the death of the previous holder. So in my life, I have time and time again seen families divided and torn apart over an inheritance. Over money, over property, and feelings of entitlement. And some in the family received an equal share in the inheritance, but got upset because another family member was chosen to be the executor. How tragic and how sad. The scriptures talk a great deal about inheritance. The word's used 239 times in the Bible. In many instances, the word inherited is used in a way you might not expect. It's used as in a destructive and consuming way. The word inherit in Scripture doesn't always mean what you might think. In some instances, the Hebrew word, which is yarash, that's translated inherit, means to drive out. It means to seize. It means to rob, to consume, and destroy. It means to divide the spoil. It means to ruin. How appropriate is the meaning that way when we see that very often that is what an inheritance does to those who inherit from a family member. And we often see in instances like that that truly the love of money, it's not money that's the root of all evil, it's the love of money. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Turn with me now, if you would, to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to turn you to three places. But in Matthew chapter 21, I want you to look here with me. And scan down to verse 37. And here we have the first time that that word inheritance is used in the New Testament. And the Lord here is speaking a parable about the killing of the householder's son by the husbandman, by the land workers of his land, portraying the killing of the Lord Jesus. The householder in the harvest would send servants, and the husbandmen, the laborers, would take one and beat them and stone another and killed another, and the husbandman would send, or the householder would send more servants, and they would do the same. And then in verse 37 in this parable, we read, but last of all, he, the master, the householder, the one who owned the land, sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. This is the heir. Let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And when the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? And that's why the Lord in the scriptures warns us against covetousness and lust of what others have. And this is why we're encouraged to set our affections on things above and to lay up treasures in heaven. Now, look over at Luke chapter 12. Let's begin reading here in verse 13, Luke chapter 12. In verse 13, we read, and one of the company said unto him, speaking of the Lord Jesus, he said, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Inheritance here means possession or portion. Tell him, tell my brother to give me what's rightfully mine. And undoubtedly, whoever gave this inheritance didn't think this man should have it. But he certainly thought so himself. And in verse 14, the Lord said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. That this man was motivated by covetousness. Tell my brother to give me what's mine. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And the Lord says, the man said, I'll say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they sow nor reap, neither have storehouse nor barn, nor, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all those things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now turn over just a few pages to Luke chapter 15. And this, we have an account of what the younger son said in the parable of the prodigal son. Luke 15, look at verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion. That's what the word inheritance means, portion. Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. me. And he divided unto them, his sons, his living. Now, whose living was divided? The father's. It was his. It was all his. An inheritance is determined by the one who is giving it, not the one who's receiving it. How did this young man spend his inheritance? Verse 13 tells us he wasted his substance with riotous living. Riotous, unruly, rowdy, disorderly, disruptive, wild, ugly, uncontrollable living. You know the story of the prodigal son. This past Sunday, we looked and saw that there are doctrines, plural, which are various teachings on different things in the Bible, such as God's attributes and election and predestination, substitution, so on and so forth. And then there is a doctrine, singular, of God our Savior, that is Christ and Him crucified, and which all the other doctrines together describe and point to. And I say that to make this point. This week, in great detail, I studied all the verses and uses of the word inheritance, read them and looked at them. And there seems to be two types of inheritance spoken of in the Scriptures. First, there's a fleshly, physical, earthly inheritance. And secondly, there's a spiritual, supernatural, heavenly inheritance. And all of them that entered into the land of promise received the physical inheritance that was promised to Abraham and his seed. They received land. They received possessions. They received physical things. They received, as we've seen in this study of Joshua, houses that they didn't build. They received wells that they didn't dig. They received vineyards that they didn't plant. But not all of them received the spiritual inheritance. Paul teaches us that in Romans chapter 9, verse 5, that not all Israel, not all the citizens of Israel were of true Israel. It's the same today. There are many who profess to be the people, the children, the elect of God, who are not. And there are some who are. And both of these physical and spiritual inheritances are seen in Joshua chapter 13. Turn back there with me. That's where we'll spend the rest of our time. And I believe there's a great lesson to be learned here. Many professing believers will receive a physical inheritance, but not all will receive the spiritual. So I believe it to be very important, actually crucial, life and death, to know something about the spiritual inheritance, which is life everlasting found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all that really matters, Steve. When it comes right down to it, that's all that really matters. All those who are made priests by the Lord Jesus Christ receive the spiritual inheritance as did the tribe of Levi. As we've already seen, the tribe of Levi was designated as the priesthood, and their lives were spent in service to the temple of the Lord. We read that in several passages. In other words, they lived off Christ. Isn't that what we do? This priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, which no longer exists, pictures the priesthood of all true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has made His people by the work of their great high priest to be priests and kings unto Himself. Revelation 1, 5 and 6, let me read it to you, tells us that. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Then in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, it's written, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, the life of a believer is all about service to Christ. That's the reason the Lord leaves us here. Tending to the things of God. The child of God is referred to in the scriptures as lively stones who are built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood with a glorious task to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. They're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar. That word means purchased. They're a peculiar purchased people who should show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's what we preach. As priests of God, what do we offer up? By Him, therefore, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise. Notice that that's singular, sacrifice, not sacrifices. Sacrifice of praise. To God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Hebrews 13:5. Now stay with me. It's a singular sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise to the One who made the sacrifice of Himself for us. We praise God for what He's done for us. And it's a fruit. It's not labor. It's not a burden. It's not something that the sinner must do to be saved. It's something that a believer does because they are saved. We talk about that all the time. It's a sacrifice because it does require us giving up something. A saved sinner can't be thankful and praise God while praising self and being thankful for something that they themselves have done. So this sacrifice requires the sacrifice of self to Christ and His finished work. Now, back in our text, Joshua 13, verse 14, this spiritual inheritance for the priest of God, pictured by the Levites, is said to be the sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire. Our acceptance with God that we offer is only the sacrifice of Christ, who under the fire of God's wrath satisfied justice and justified us. That's what we preach, His sacrifice, what He did for us. By the shedding of His blood, He put away our sin, washed it away. It's a sweet-smelling savor unto God. It's the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And this sacrifice is eternal. Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This sacrifice is effectual. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. Matthew 1:21. Paul told Timothy this. He said, "Who hath, past tense, saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, and was, past tense, given to us in Christ before the world began. By Christ, who hath abolished death." He's already abolished it. Not something He's going to do. "And He hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." It's effectual. It's done. It's finished. How effectual is that? It's effectually effectual. Our inheritance in Christ is a finished work. His sacrifices are our inheritance. How are we accepted? In the beloved. Jesus Christ is the blood of God. Propitiation, justification, sanctification, holiness, righteousness, forgiveness, peace, joy, comfort, understanding, spiritual wisdom, light, life, contentment, conformity to Christ, and eternal glory is our inheritance. Boy, that's much better than a big house and a nice car. Money in the bank. This is so different from a physical, natural, fleshly inheritance. And this inheritance is a gift. This inheritance is yours as a result of being a son or a daughter, not a servant. Galatians 4, verse 1. Let me read. I won't turn you there. "Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive," what? "The adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Daddy. Oh, that's such an endearing word to a father. Daddy. My, not disrespectful in the least. The physical inheritance. Well, let me finish that. Verse 7. "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." The physical inheritance of possession in the land was not given to the tribe of Levi. Why? Because it says the sacrifice of fire that they offered unto the Lord was their inheritance. You get that? What we offer unto God is the finished work of Christ. Lord, You've done for me what I couldn't do for myself. You've accomplished, You've finished everything. The perfection that You require of me, I can't do. Christ, the perfect substitute and sacrifice for sinners, did it for me. Verse 33 tells us very plainly, the Lord God of Israel was their inheritance. And beloved of God, He's ours too. He's ours too. With God as our inheritance, all that He is and all that He has is ours by being His sons and daughters. Our earthly physical inheritance comes by one or two ways, either by birth or by adoption. Now, I know something about that. I was adopted. I was an only child. I always tell everybody, and I believe Teresa would agree, that I ruined my parents from wanting to have any more children. But this birth is speaking of the new birth, being born again from above. And this is referring to God's predestinating us, His people, into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of God's will. And then Paul went on to say there in Ephesians 1, to the praise, the sacrifice of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. What's our inheritance? Christ. Amen. The riches of His grace. If I have Christ, I have it all. All I need. All God requires. He who works all things after the counsel of His own will is the reason for our inheritance. Beloved, we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The reason that our inheritance is so glorious is that Christ, who works all things after the counsel of His own will, works all things together for our good. And that's why we receive this inheritance. We're kept by the power of God. Well, we'd throw it all away if it wasn't for that. Kept by the power of God. The scripture says, is it not lawful, is it not right for Christ to do what He will with His own? You better believe it is. He can have mercy on whom He'll have mercy, because everyone and everything belongs to Him. It's His prerogative to do what He will with His own. God has given Christ power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as God gave Him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, went to the cross as our substitute for sin, making us joint heirs of the inheritance with Him. Joint heirs with Christ. All that Christ has, I have in Him. He who is all my inheritance. Now, in closing, I want you to know the certainty of this inheritance. This is certain. You know, people say all the time that we live in a world of uncertain things. We do. But here's something that's certain. Something that's certain. I'll give you something that's certain. Again, verse 14. It says, only unto the tribe of Levi He gave none inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance. Now look at this. As He, the Lord, said unto them. Now you can write it down. So be it. Amen. Look at verse 33. But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance, not one piece of land, possessions, or entitlement did they receive. Why? Because the Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as He said unto them. That's what makes it certain and sure. That's what He said. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, God said it, that settles it. We better believe it. God, there is none else. One who is not a man that he should lie. One who is not a man that he should change his mind. Oh, we're so fickle we change our mind like we change socks. But He declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that not yet be. And what does He say? He says, my counsel shall stand. It shall stand. Well, who's going to stay His hand? Who's going to say unto Him, God, what are You doing? His counsel shall stand, and He will do all His pleasure. And He's my Father. and his inheritance is for me. I'm joint heirs with his beloved son, and I am one of his sons. Christ is the Lord who changes not. Therefore, you and I, the sons of Jacob that we are not consumed. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. That's why it's sure and certain. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. That's why it's sure and certain. What an inheritance we have. My father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Not as the world gives, our inheritance is not as the world gives. Like the Levites, we have none of that inheritance. I'm talking about the same inheritance that Peter wrote about that we began the service with there in 1 Peter 1, verse 4. He said, to an inheritance, let's do it again, to an inheritance incorruptible. Can't be corrupted. Can't be taken away. Undefiled. And that fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for you. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Jesus Christ is our inheritance. He's a perfect inheritance. He's incorruptible and undefiled. An inheritance that never fades away, never stops, never ceases. An inheritance reserved in heaven for us. And if God reserved it, you better believe that's a reservation that's going to be kept. You ever gone to a restaurant? I had reservations. What's your name? Steve McCarty. Don't see it. God made this reservation. Everything is going to be all right. And it doesn't matter how much I have in this life. All that matters is who I have in this life. May God be pleased to make it so for God's glory, our good, and for Christ's sake.